Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. On today's program, we'll discuss the latest tech news. We'll also talk live to Amazon's Echo product, Alexa, and we'll field listener questions about MacBook upgrades and Wi-Fi positioning. The fall gaming season is starting to heat up, as well as Windows 10 installs. We'll talk about all that and much, much more on today's show. Send your questions via email, midday@sdpb.org, or send a tweet to @sdpb. Join the discussion on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio, or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your suggestions or questions to our guest today, Joel Brovelite, Amos Asaf, Jeff Litterick, and of course myself. That email address again is midday@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you after this news from SDPB Radio. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer questions you may have in the field of technology and computers and, I guess, cell phones and every other thing, guys, you know, really. We kind of cover it all. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls with me, Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite is here. Good day, Joel.
Good morning. Afternoon.
You're sparkling a little. I take that that's the rain outside?
It is. It's just drizzling.
Just drizzling. And it's just the humidity personifying itself, I think.
That's what it seemed like earlier, for
Amos sure. Amos Asaf is here. You are the technical support guy at DataSync, director of technical support.
Yes.
How's that going for you?
That's going well. It's going well. We're not affected by rain, so things are good.
Well, I...
Unless it rains like it rained
last week, kind of affected some technology, but that's if it's in the basement and not above water level, right, or above sea level in your
Absolutely.
Basement. So, well, anyway. Also joining us via phone from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Pierre is Jeff Litterick, and we have some questions for Jeff later concerning gaming and Windows 10 and how that's going. I guess the installs are going great on that, Jeff.
Yeah, fastest market share of already passed Windows 8 and 8.1 and eroding Windows 7 quite fast. So,
wow, yeah. Well, we'll get to that later. Want to remind folks that they can call, text, tweet, email. Simply swing by our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, and post your questions or comments there. Don't be shy. Our phone number, 800-524-3604. @SDPB is our Twitter handle, and the email address, of course, is midday@sdpb.org. Well, guys, we were joined by what looks like a really cool-looking black coffee mug today, and it's a piece of technology from Amazon. We've talked about it on the show. We decided we were going to bring it on the show, which is kind of different.
Yes.
But we've got it hooked up. Amos, want to introduce your friend?
Introduce my friend. So we've talked about this quite a bit. I've had this one, so the Amazon Echo. I've had this this one since April, May-ish, right in there, something like that. And it's a computer in a cylinder that is always listening. So some people have compared it kind of to the NSA and kind of get a little bit weirded out because it is constantly looking for a keyword, which means that it's always listening and always processing the sounds that are going on around it. But when you say its name, which is Alexa, it will pick up and you can ask questions and it will respond. You can also, if you've got it hooked up to any sort of home automation system, ask it to interact with those. So whether it's a deadbolt that gets locked, or a light that gets turned up or down, or the temperature that gets changed. If you have a system that interacts with this Amazon Alexa, or Amazon Echo, then you can do everything by voice control.
Now, do you have it paused right now because it's not answering back?
I do, because earlier today when you said Alexa in the promo, it picked up and then started saying, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. So I figured as many times as I would probably say the word, I do have it on mute. So when we unmute it, it will come to life when you say its name and ask it a question. So one of the examples that we used earlier, just for testing purposes, was, Alexa, what is the temperature today?
Right now in Sioux Falls, it's 79 degrees with cloudy skies. Today's forecast has some sun and thunderstorms, with a high of 85 and a low of 73.
All right.
So it knows where it's at. You can also say, Alexa, what is the temperature in Dallas, Texas? Maybe. So I'm trying to be quiet in front of the mic, but Alexa, what is the temperature in Dallas, Texas?
Right now in Dallas, Texas, it's 87 degrees with partly sunny skies. Throughout the day, you can expect more of the same, with a high of 95 and a low of 78.
So in preparation for this today, I need to come up with something that is incredibly useful and a reason why someone would spend, depending on your level of Amazon-ness, between $100 and $200 to get this. And since I have no home automation equipment that works with the Echo, I can't come up with one. It's all really just kind of...
Well, I can definitely come up with one, even if you don't have home automation, which, by the way, home automation sounds like, I'd have to spend a lot of money. But it could be as simple as you buying, you know, $100 worth of light bulbs for your living room. And, you know, that could be 5 light bulbs, and that might be perfect for your living room. And you would have full control over those light bulbs. In that one space with your Echo. So that's useful. Of course, if you listen to radio or if you listen to South Dakota Public Radio or anything, music in general, it can be very useful. I'll just, Alexa, play South Dakota Public Radio.
Oh, that's probably not going to work out well, is it?
I think you want the station South Dakota Public Radio, right?
Cancel.
Yeah, because we'll just feed back
right,
into
of course,
ourselves.
Yeah. I had planned on stopping you beforehand,
oh, okay.
But you can do it just that simple, and it will play the live stream from South Dakota Public Radio or anywhere that you want to choose. Or you could. I didn't choose music because I don't want to run into any royalty problems, but if you picked your favorite artist, you wanted to hear music by Justin Timberlake, you could just ask the device for that. And away you go. It just puts some stuff on random. You can also load it with your music, so it has access to the tracks that you want. I think you can load about 250 songs for free, or if you have an Amazon Music subscription, which is,
right.
I think, $25, you can load 250,000.
Oh.
Well,
and, of course, they're held on the cloud.
If you're an Amazon Prime member, that comes with your Prime subscription,
right?
Which is probably the majority of
people that would have
that. So other things that are useful and less entertainment, adding things to your to-do list or to your grocery list. So Alexa, add milk to my shopping list. And so then now if you have the Alexa or the Echo app on your phone, you have a shopping list that now includes milk. Or Alexa, add... It's canceling. Let's try that again. Alexa, take the car to the doctor.
Take the car to the doctor.
Yes. Something's canceling it as soon as I say that, though.
It could be a network connection because we're using a Wi-Fi hotspot, and those are not as shaky. And that's one of the big deals I've noticed just watching the traffic on my network with the Echo is that it uses lots of bandwidth all the time. Because it's always listening, and especially when you're tapping it for, you know, information, it does tend to chew up bandwidth. So while it works with a lower bandwidth, if you maybe don't have the fastest network connection, it definitely works best with a really nice, tight connection. I have one of these at home. We've talked about this. I think it's one of the best consumer electronic products that have been released in the past 5 years.
It looks nice. It's got LEDs that rim the top. It's a cylinder, and I see that when you speak, the LEDs search out and they kind of point it. They come to you. So that must be the seven microphones.
Seven microphones.
There?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a cylinder in my hand. Again, it's extremely similar to the coffee mug, the stainless steel coffee mug I have sitting right next to it in size. It's got a little heft to it, and that, I imagine, is the speakers.
The magnetic, yeah. It's got a subwoofer, small sub in the bottom, and then, of course, seven microphones across the top and a few speakers all around it. And it does listen very well and hears from across the room. As a matter of fact, my trigger word for it is not... Alexa, but it's Amazon. That's the one I've chosen. You can choose from one of those two. And because of that, I might have the radio playing in the other room, and there might be a story about Amazon on, and it will pick that up, and it will say, well, I don't know what you mean by market share is increasing. So it's very clean. In fact, my 8-year-old daughter can control it with really no problems whatsoever other than impatience.
And it generally is pretty good at just straight spoken word. You know, there's no specific keywords that you have to give it to make it do something specific other than the keyword to activate it.
Yeah, there's just a little blip if you say Alexa, you kind of want to wait for the light to show up. Alexa, cancel. You wait for the light to show up. That's what I was just doing now. Mm-hmm. And then you know it's listening to
right.
you. And you know, as you said, it shows you the direction it's hearing from. You know, you can be turned to the side and it will still pick it up.
Is there a setting you can have it like do a bing or something when it's instead of having to actually visually see it? Is there a way that you know you're getting a prompt back that it's either listening or it's working?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I noticed when he asks what the weather is or when he's doing those things, there is no
auditory feedback.
Auditory feedback.
I would think that if it's not already in there, which I don't know,
that I know about.
Yeah, that seems like something they could build in, especially if they change the form factor. Because really, the secret here is not the hardware. It is the software. Alexa mm-hmm. is the software name. And Alexa, cancel. Sorry.
it's listening.
So we're going to see lots of products probably come out with this same software. And then, you know, as the form factor changes, I think you're going to see that it's going to need maybe auditory feedback or a different visual feedback. That's probably what we'll see.
Yeah, I was just thinking that are slightly sight impaired or you're in another room and you just want to know if the thing heard you or not.
I think one of the reasons this has taken so well, especially in the tech community, is because Amazon right away made it available for developers to develop third-party applications and to integrate it with other devices. That's why there are a whole host of home automation devices that you can link with this using If This Then That, which is an app you can get for your device, and which is something you wouldn't see Apple do, and you certainly wouldn't see Google do, because they like to stay in their own ecosphere. Because it's Amazon, because they don't really make consumer electronic products in the same way Apple and Google do, I think that they're more apt to open it up to a lot more developers. So that's, I think, one of the reasons that this is more successful than other attempts by those other companies.
I think it's also the a way to get real-world testing using some fun and entertaining ways to use it that down the road will be rolled into things that are more specific in nature when it comes to actually doing something productive. I think what they're doing here is they're fine-tuning language, understanding.
Absolutely.
And they're doing it because they have thousands of people out there testing it, and they have all the information coming back to a central location where you can actually go on the app and say, whether or not Alexa understood you correctly. So she says, I think you said South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Is that correct? And if it's not, you can go in and you can correct her so she knows what it is you were actually saying. And that all leads to development of a better understanding of how to understand the human spoken language.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the hidden bonus for Amazon is that, all of this talking to the device is just research and development for them that they didn't have to pay for. Not unlike, several Google and Apple products out there. It's no secret to that. I would say that if you're a user that has any home automation device of any kind, whether that's lights or locks or any other devices, or if you listen to the radio, especially streaming radio or podcasts, then this is a device that you would find useful.
I got a question from a listener, Larry. I have tried unsuccessfully to get Alexa to stream SDPB. I think it was Amos that said it was possible. It was actually Joel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When he tried it earlier, it did not work for him. Well, we shut it off because we didn't want to do the feedback thing. But
yes, yeah.
He says, what is the command I need to get SDPB broadcasting to play?
Well, here's the deal, and I found this with several radio stations. I'm a rabid public radio listener, and I listen to public radio from all over the country. And usually it's as simple as making sure that you give the write command or the write call letters. So instead of asking it to listen to South Dakota Public Radio, you want to ask it to listen to KSDJ or KS.
KCSD?
KCSD. There
yes,
we go.
Yeah.
If you ask for the call letters, because those call letters are specific to radio stations all over the country and they're not duplicated, most of the time that's the way to do it. In fact, when I listen to Minnesota Public Radio or Chicago Public Radio or South Dakota Public Radio, I use the call letters, and that's always the fastest way. And it uses several services. It uses iHeartRadio. It uses TuneIn. Both of which are free. You don't have to pay anything for, and they're included.
Mm-hmm.
And so the really cool thing to me is I don't have to go open an app. I don't even have to have my hands free. I don't even have to be more than, you know, less than 9 feet away. I can be across the room and change the station if a show comes on that I didn't want to listen to. And I just use the call letters and change the station, and bam, I'm good to go. So you just need to change... Probably instead of asking for South Dakota Public Radio, just ask for
CSD, KUSD, KSD.
Yeah, I forget the one that I asked CSD. For. So that just use the call letters from your local area. I'm not sure where he's doing it, and I'm certain that will work.
Okay.
Well, if you're looking for other stations, they do have to be on either iHeart or TuneIn.
Yeah, which all public radio stations are on one of those.
So if your radio station you're looking for is on that, you can either try to do it by the call letters or look it up actually through the app.
Yes.
And see what it is that that.
Yeah, if and that's actually how I figured this out. I kind of figured it out without actually asking or looking. If you go into the app, which you actually have to have to set it up the first time,
mm-hmm.
You go into the app on your phone, and then you can go to TuneIn or you can go to iHeartRadio and do a search for the radio station you want, and then just look at the call letters and then just ask for that from then on. That's a flaw that I think will get fixed at some point, is you can't, like, set up favorite radio stations I know you can with playlists, actually, but you can't with radio stations, which is a bit of a flaw and maybe a niche market for them. But I think that's something that will get fixed. But just change it to call letters. That's the long answer to your question.
We need to take a quick break, but we are talking in this first segment, apparently, about the Amazon Echo product that is available, and I guess a couple of the guests here like that. We're gathered, the Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We're here at the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls to answer your tech questions today. We have a couple, I guess is the lingo for that. We have a couple that have been posted to the Facebook page, and we'll get to those right after this quick break. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. Again, we've gathered the experts to talk tech today in the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls. Matt Guru, Joel Borovalaid is here. Director of Technical Support at DataSync, Amos Asif, is here. And as always, from the Bureau in Pierre, Jeff Litterick standing by as well. A reminder to listeners, September 18th is the next Tech Radio. Mark that down in your calendars, and we hope to see you in front of your radios that day, listening, or in front of your Echoes, or on the live stream. We're also in iTunes. Did you know that? NPR stations are in iTunes.
That. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You actually have to search NPR News SDPB there, and you'll actually get us.
Yeah, if you use the iTunes app in your phone or on the thing, all you have to do is type in SDPB, and it comes up and yeah. It streams. It's right in the radio section with all the other big boys, so and girls.
Well, let's wrap up our Echo echoing today, and let's.
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
Yeah, she doesn't know what I mean, but you're going to ask it a question, are you?
Alexa, tell me a joke.
Why don't oysters share their pearls? They're shellfish.
Yeah, okay.
They are indeed.
That's a sense of humor like I have. We'll put Alexa on pause and continue with the show. We have a couple of questions, actually, we need to get to that were posted to our Facebook account, facebook.com/techradio. Lisa from Yankton has a MacBook Pro. She says it's 6 years old. And she's not ready to upgrade to a new one. She's kind of gone through the drive, cleaned it up, and she says she still only has 29 gigabyte free on a 500 gigabyte hard drive, which is, I don't know. That's not horrible, is it, Joel?
This is my rule of thumb based on my personal experience. And I probably got it from someone. You should have at least 10% of your hard drive available at all times.
Okay.
And I think probably more like 25 these days, especially if you use apps for video editing, audio editing, or you do lots of streaming.
Because so she's falling a little short of her 50 gig that she wants.
Certainly,
that
definitely,
you wanted to have.
Definitely than 10. You know, the 10% would be 50 gig. So, you know, an easy fix to that is just go buy one of the super cheap hard drives that are available on the market. Go into a computer repair shop. You can probably buy a terabyte hard drive for a laptop that will fit that for either just under or just over $100. I don't have exact amounts, but hard drives are so cheap these days. I'm sure, you know, a MacBook Pro hard drives are not, you know, impossible to install. Anybody that has any experience with computers can do it. There are walkthroughs on the internet, if it's, especially if it's out of warranty like yours is. And the only trick is, and this isn't super tricky, but is transferring your data. But that's not hard to do either, mm-hmm. Especially with the more modern operating systems. So anybody that also has Mac experience should be able to walk you through that. Again, there's lots of walkthroughs on the internet to do that. So that would be my suggestion. Rather than trying to clear off a gig here and a gig there, just get a new hard drive. It will cost you a fraction of a new computer. You maybe even get a faster hard drive and get a slight upgrade while you're at it. And there should be little to no problems doing that. I do that all the time.
Yeah, she says, should I consider a, well, and I'm not sure about this, should I consider a 1 terabyte flash drive instead for $40?
Well,
you're
flash
not
drive.
You're not going to find a 1 terabyte flash drive for $40.
Well, she might, but that won't really fix the problem of having local hard drive space. I don't know. I haven't priced those out. I mean, regardless, I don't think a flash drive is a good solution.
Okay.
Because, you know, you could unload a bunch of stuff on it, but then it's not on your hard drive and you've got to have that. And then, of course, if you try to access that, especially with video or music, it's going to be super slow. So mm-hmm. just get a new hard drive. You know, if you're worried about $40 for a terabyte flash drive, if that's even a possibility, double that and you should be able to get an internal drive for your laptop. And then buy a $10 USB case for your old hard drive that you had, and then you'll have a 500 gig backup.
And she's got great questions here. She has more. Any advantages of speed or reliability with the external flash or with the external hard drive? And is that where you would store videos of your children, for example, that could not be replaced? I have Carbonite, but not sure that that works with external hard drives.
I think Carbonite does work with external hard drives if you mm-hmm. tell it to. There's no advantage to an external hard drive as far as storage of video. The only advantage would be if you had a second copy, which would be my recommendation, then you could move that away from them so that if your house gets flooded, you don't lose both at the same time. But in fact, there is a speed disadvantage to an external hard drive. Basically, your internal hard drive is almost always going to be faster than your external hard drive, except for a very few cases, but not in yours with the model of computer you have. Again, I'm still going to recommend just get a new internal drive.
Okay. And that does not need to be an SSD drive.
It can
but
be.
It could be.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that would be the case where, you know, if you buy a faster drive, you'll get a slight speed increase on, you know, just your overall functioning of your computer.
And there are other probably advantages. And should we explain what an SSD drive is?
Sure, we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
The SSD stands for a solid state drive.
Okay.
So basically, instead of the traditional hard drive, which is, you know, a large spinning or a small spinning disk inside a piece of metal, a solid state drive works very similar to like a flash drive in that it just accesses the memory chips that are in this drive. It doesn't have to spin anything and move an arm, you know, in the same style as a similar style as a record player. So it's just faster overall, less susceptible to damage from falling and, you know, breaking, heat, cold, things like that. So they're better overall. They're also easily twice as much.
If you're familiar with the distinction between storage and memory, it's closer to memory than storage in the traditional sense. But storage on a memory chip, which which is what this basically is, comes in different flavors. It comes in the cheaper versions are the kind you find on a USB stick, and they're a little bit slower, really. But these SSDs have to be the higher quality, faster memory, because otherwise the performance would be absolutely terrible. And because it has to be that faster chip, the drives are more expensive, and they're generally smaller. So you don't generally walk out and buy a 1 or 2 terabyte SSD. Generally you see those in the 250 to 500 gig range, and then the slower ones you buy because they're larger but less expensive. So there's a trade-off there.
I think the drive in my computer at home is 250 gig.
This is what I would say. If you're buying a new computer, I would definitely recommend getting a SSD or a solid-state drive. For a six-year-old computer that you're looking on upgrading, I would probably just get the least expensive option. You know, if it's $10 to get a slightly faster drive, go ahead and do that. I don't know that I would pay SSD prices for a laptop that you're probably going to replace in a year or two anyway. Just guessing. I would just probably go with the less expensive option there. I don't think the speed difference is enough to really be worth it in a computer of that age.
Okay. We have another question off of Facebook, asking help with a Wi-Fi problem in Hartford. Sherry asks if any IT folks are out there and can suggest on this issue, please let me know. The tech support they've been calling doesn't have a clue about what's been going on. There's a home office that they're trying to get connected to the internet and stay connected, but it's got three devices and they're unable to join. So after days and hours of rebooting and continually entering correct passwords and things, there's no fix. The tech support people say they've moved the modem over to another channel, and now there should be a stronger signal. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. But the devices, again, are an Amazon Fire Stick, an iPhone, and a computer. They're just looking for a little help here. They can't get any cellular access out there for internet. This is kind of the only thing. I'm trying to figure out, is this a really a problem with the actual hardware, or is this a placement issue? I've run into a couple of those this week where the placement of the Wi-Fi hotspot is not conducive to the rest of the house and having some issues. Are you getting this kind of read on this?
It's possible. Where you place that can be. In fact, I was just reading a humor article talking about how microwaves and Wi-Fi are on the same spectrum, and that you should in theory be able to cook your TV dinner with your if you have enough Wi-Fi. But that can cause interference. You know, you turn on the microwave, it causes interference. You have a 2.4 gigahertz telephone, and that's in the area that will cause interference. Ideally, you'd like your Wi-Fi to be as high as possible. You don't want it in the basement so that it's all being trapped down there. I cannot even start to tell you how many bad routers and wireless access points I have run into over the last 6 months. It's like the quality of the electronics has just plummeted in the last year or so. So it's definitely possible that that's an issue. I don't know, Jeff. Do you have any ideas?
There could be so many little things going on because you're dealing with a provider. It could be actually frequency ranges and stuff too. It could be interference. Though, usually with interference, you're going to get connected and then maybe drop off or just have a bad connection, a slow connection. And what I was reading in from there is they're not able to join at all, which would tend to mean they either see no signal at all or there's something bad, something not quite right in communication between the service provider and them on what equipment they're using and what they're doing. So this one's a tricky one where you almost have to be on site to see the real problems and as they occur and stuff to fix them. So,
Well, We're gonna punt on this one. We'll try to come up with a couple more answers and maybe get those posted back out to Facebook and see if we can get this tracked down. But the person I was helping this week, it was definitely a placement issue. They had it in a room in a lower level that apparently had a bunch of metal in the walls, sure. And it was really just
being
problematic.
Really,
so yeah. They'd connect up to it, they'd walk to a different part of the house, and unknowingly, it would switch over to the cellular plan on their phones and devices, and they were getting these huge bandwidth bills because mm-hmm. It was just seamlessly.
The best way to handle that, just as the quick thing that I've done to fix it, is to run a couple of routers, but wire them together, and then depending on the setup you have, just run physical wires between the Wi-Fi. Routers that you're using, use more than one, and that way you can get coverage better in the areas that you need it, but wire them together rather than try to do the wireless
bridge,
which when you have interference does not work as well as you want it to. It's great if there's no interference. Yeah. Well, it's adequate if there's no interference, but if there's interference, it's bad.
I got this quizzical look out of a guy. So he says, I was over to a guy's house helping him with another issue, and he says, yeah, we've been dropping off laptops here. His router's in the basement, and he's over there microwaving his coffee. I said, does it happen to happen in the morning when you're using the microwave? Well, yeah, let me think about that. Yeah, I think maybe that might have something, but it's just no correlation in his mind between the using the microwave and losing the internet at the same time over and over again. So that happens. A question off of the Tech Radio Facebook page again. So does Alexa work with the Fire Stick TV? So can you change channels on your Amazon Prime?
No.
Okay.
Although,
yeah. So,
so because of the developer options that Alexa has, there is, and I'm not saying yes on this particular one. I don't believe there's a direct integration between the two, but there are some services out there that play a middleman that allow you to have Amazon Echo do something that then influences this middleware that then relays that information onto the next one.
Exactly. So, yeah. If This Then That, which right. was the app yep. I suggested.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it does that exactly, but there are lots of things that do.
That's
it.
Actually the app I was thinking of.
Uh-huh,
if
yeah,
if
uh-huh.
This Then That.
Here's what I would say. The Fire Stick will probably get Alexa integrated into it. I would guess maybe by Christmas even, but certainly next year. Because that's really what they're doing, is they're developing this software so they can put
Family
it into
product.
More products. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, what I really want is a house-wide Alexa with microphones that I can put in every room so I don't have to have multiple ones of these devices. That's really what you need, my opinion.
Two things we forgot to mention, too. One, it comes with a remote. So if you are across the room
yeah.
or if it's really loud, you can talk into the remote, and it sends that signal via RF mm-hmm. rather than having to listen.
Okay.
So you can do that. And two, an actual useful item that I found, if you've ordered something from Amazon, you can tell Alexa to reorder it. So if you need to reorder diapers, it will reorder them, and it will just show up at your door 2 days later if you're on Prime. Of course, you have to have already ordered it, so you need to be able to say reorder whatever it was you
okay.
ordered.
So, John, thanks for that question on Facebook, using, again, facebook.com/techradio. Your folks are welcome to do that while we're at break. When we come back, we've got a little bit of news of the day. We want to talk a little bit about fall gaming coming up. I think PAX just happened or is happening right now. And we'll get an update from Jeff after this. And welcome back to the third half of Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys for this September 4th show. A reminder again, we'll be back September 18th. And if you're a really long planner, I guess October 2nd and the 16th are our dates in October. Join us again on SDPB Radio then. But always join us on Twitter at SDPB. And, of course, our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, is a place that you can communicate with us anytime about any question. And we have folks that love to answer them or even post further questions from our listening audience, and we love that too. So listener-to-listener interaction is great as well. We love that. Guys, we have a few more topics we want to talk about on today's show. Did you see that Think Geek opened up a brick and mortar store? I didn't think that that was going to be possible, but they did down in Orlando. I guess
that seems like a great place to open it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were recently bought by another company too, and that may be part of it. But yeah, it kind of surprised me that notice. So,
is that GameStop that bought them, or was that some other company? Well, anyway, it could easily fill in with, you know, with other products from other companies. But I was just surprised to see that. It's a Think Geek is a we mention it around Christmas time every year. Black Friday show usually for the Guide to Geek Gifting, but there's some great products out there. Although we don't endorse any of those on the show, we like to talk about technology, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. A science teacher got arrested the other night. He was flying his drone around. He got a little too excited with his science project and landed it right in the middle of a U.S. Open match. Crashed it into a couple of seats in New York City. So we've been talking about drones and I've been talking actually to RC pilots about drone use. For a lot of the older guys that are younger guys too, but the purists in the sport are really kind of seeing this bunch of drones showing up and causing problems as being a big problem, and don't like that as much as motorcyclists don't like scooters. But
yeah,
Jeff?
Recently the FAA has put this as their top priority, the explosion in drone use and what they're going to do about it. So it'd be kind of interesting to see. This is going to be a very high priority kind of thing for them, and there's probably going to be a whole bunch of new regulations coming out. Just because there's been so many, even more since we last talked about it, near misses with airlines and stuff, it's becoming a humongous hazard in certain ways very fast. So
I see the feature list on the new drones is getting to be pretty deep. There's follow-me modes now. There are chips built in that will keep you out of no-fly zones and keep you under the umbrellas, you know, that you're not supposed to cross for getting up into air traffic. So I think some of those things are starting to be addressed. It's best that you go and there are actually classes you can take, or there's websites you can go visit that explain all the rules and then how to get certified as a commercial user of drones, and that's all great information to have, and it's all available on the web as well.
Although a lot of the people that buy the drones at this point realize there are regulations to the use, same as RC aircraft, because it's one of those things, you just go buy a drone and go use it. So if you do have a drone, do make sure you know the regulations about using airspace. So for RC / drone style aircraft.
I got a great link forwarded to me this week, and I'll put that on the Facebook site later. It, even if you're not going to buy a drone, it's kind of probably some useful information if you're ever going to consider it or wanted to pass it along to somebody that you know that has a drone. They're getting to be pretty darn popular. And then one other item in the news I wanted to talk about a little bit. It seems like the cheaper smartphones are becoming super popular these days. I don't know if anybody wanted to comment on that. We've all heard of the big three, Apple, Samsung, and LG. But right after LG in the smartphone market in the U.S. has become a company called ZTE. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that.
I haven't.
Chinese company.
No.
Doesn't make particularly great phones, from what I understand, but they're good enough for $60.
Which is basically anytime you sign up for anything, that'll be your free phone. I'm sure that's how it'll work out.
Yeah. So I just there's been companies, there's been some, I think, some Korean companies that have tried to kind of crack the U.S. market, and that really hasn't made it. And I think they were more in the $100 price level, and I think now somebody's found a price level that people are willing to find good enough, and we'll keep tabs on that. Just to see if there's any great ones coming out and or any of them go from great to good, from good to great, then we'll talk about it on the show. But certainly we have other things we want to talk about. Jeff, in particular, I'm I'm a I I'm probably not as big into gaming as Jeff is, but I do play games, and I noticed that what happened this week, Jeff? Was it PAX?
Yes, last weekend, PAX Prime. Some people don't realize there are actually three PAXes in the United States at different times of the year. There's an East Coast one, there's one down in the southern part of Texas area, and then there's the primary one, which was the original one, which is in Seattle, Washington, where the headquarters of the Penny PAX, the comic strip that actually produces PAX, is located at. And Prime is always the biggest one, followed by the East Coast one. I forget if East Coast is in the spring or not, but they're kind of spread out throughout the year. The primary one, for the old timers out there, remember the whole E3 in Las Vegas, after that kind of collapsed because it just got too big. PAX kind of took over, and their focus wasn't on the like a trade show. Their focus is on gamers, and what we mean by that is all the vendors show up not to show games to marketers, to retailers. They're showing up their fall games for gamers. Buy my game. I'm showing it to you. It's a good game, you know, kind of promoting it. And the attendance at the PAX are just incredible. So it's a really great chance for gamers to go try out different games, network with themselves, and just have a great time. There's a lot of fun events at them.
Any big announcements that you want to mention?
You know, there's not too many announcements, but PAX Prime is the start of the fall holiday gaming season. And one of the emphasis I kind of noticed this fall is the emphasis on pre-ordering. This is an interesting thing because this gets back into should you pre-order or not. A very big game, Batman Arkham, came out on the PC here recently and actually had to be pulled because it was so buggy that it was basically unplayable. The patch for it actually came out this week. They actually pulled it off the shelves for the PC. And the reason because that was Steam implemented a new policy where they now do refunds. They're the first people that do full refunds on digital gaming, and other people are starting to follow now. And that kind of forced them off. But if you pre-ordered the game and stuff, you're kind of stuck with a game that's unplayable. And this has been this has happened more than once now. So there was a big push. But with Steam's new policies and some other new policies, at least on the PC, you don't have to worry so much about that. You can get all the goodies, and if the game doesn't live up, you have a certain amount of time to get a full refund. For the Xbox and PS4 people, you're kind of stuck if you pre-order and it turns out to be a bad game. But you're noticing the publishers are offering massive incentives to pre-order now, just so they get that guaranteed money revenue in. But buyers do need to be beware. Sometimes there are bad rotten apples in even major game releases.
Yeah, that's been a hot topic, and even the little MMO I play, I guess I shouldn't say little because MMO stands for Massive Multiplayer Online, but even in my little corner of the world, the company came out with a pre-order and never said what the launch date was going to be. And that made a lot of people nervous as cats. Now, the people that were hardcore, myself and a bunch of other, probably millions of others that, you know, just blindly give them their credit card, we just didn't care. We want to be a part of that pre-release. So you get beta weekends, you get the, you know, little buffs for your characters, or you get special, you know, armor or, you know, weapons or whatever. You get those little extra things that they entice you with to get it early instead of waiting for the release. And there's been a lot of chatter online about the way that this particular company did the pre-order, and then at PAX they finally announced the actual date in October that the actual release is going to be. But they're all doing it.
Yeah, but the nice thing is the new Steam incentives and stuff with the full refunds. I think that's going to change a lot of the stuff because we already seen one game totally pulled back off the shelves entirely until they spent 2 months fixing it and releasing a patch, and then now they'll re-release it back on for Steam and the other digital download places. I think that's the best of both worlds because you get the pre-order stuff, but yet if it does become a stinker, you know, money talks, and the publishers will listen then.
Sure, absolutely. You touched on Windows 10 earlier. That's, I take it, going well?
It's going like gangbusters for Microsoft. I'm still kind of, for my main machines, holding off to the October kind of R2 release. But in terms of people upgrading stuff, it's massive. It's already exceeded Windows 8 market share, which means if you think of the pile of Windows machines, in the past, it was very static. And as a new, like Windows 8 came out, you know, it would take years and years to bypass the previous version in case of Windows 7. When Windows 7 came out, it took a while to expand past Vista, and Vista never expanded past XP. So these trends tended to, in the past, be very slow. With Windows 10 and their big push to roll it out, it's already past Windows 8 in terms of people using it. It's eating into the Windows 7 at a very fast rate. So the uptake, the people actually upgrading, this is the fastest rollout cycle Microsoft has ever had. And most businesses, you have to remember, have not even started upgrading. Their upgrade cycles usually start 6 to 10 months after a release of a major Microsoft operating system, just for compatibility reasons and a lot of internal business style, enterprise style reasons. So those users haven't even started to affect those numbers yet. So this could be the most popular operating system for sure out of the gate that Microsoft has ever released. Though,
not sure anybody should be surprised by that, because you know, it is free, and it's the first free operating system for Microsoft, and they also put a link on everybody's desktop to download it. So I if it wasn't the fastest and the most downloaded update, I would be shocked. Yep. So
also, you got some new processors coming out from Intel, Jeff. When are those out?
Yeah, they're actually starting to roll out now. They're not all out. The biggest thing I wanted to kind of point out that a lot of people have been kind of missing over the last generations is the new CPUs in the mobile era are great, great performers, but a lot of people are looking to start upgrading because of Windows 10 their computers. If you have a processor that's less than 5 years old, you're not going to see much of a performance boost on the desktop. It's just not there. It's a little tiny. We're talking, you know, stuff you're not even going to notice in terms of performance boost for most stuff. If you have a processor older than 5 years, you will see a good boost in performance. But anything newer than that, you don't really have to worry too much yet. The current generation of Intel chips have really slowed down the desktop from generation to generation, how much better performance they're having. They're still increasing because of battery life and power issues on the mobile space quite a bit, but that's kind of slowed down. So if you're looking to upgrade and you have a fairly recent CPU, don't sweat it. You're not going to really see any performance increases, except for maybe a couple features in Windows 10 that most people aren't using at this point. So it's kind of, they're out for laptops and stuff. You probably want to get the new CPUs if you're going to buy a new box. But for everybody else, I worry on other components of your PC, it's going to make a bigger impact at this point.
And,
as long as you have a PC over 5 years old.
Yep. And just quickly, Chrome started blocking flash ads September 1st. That going as well as you would hope?
Yeah, I guess in my browsing with Chrome, I haven't seen much. They're actually translating on the back end flash ads into HTML5 now, so many of the ads you won't even notice. But it is a big security improvement. A lot of the malware recently has been through flash ads. So.
Great, and that's just a more corporate march towards getting rid of flash, which is, in my opinion, a great thing. Hey, that music means we're out of time for another Dakota Midday Tech Radio. Want to thank our panelists, Joel Brovelite. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
Amos Asapir, and thanks for bringing the Alexa today. That was fantastic. Thank you, Amos. And, of course, Jeff Litterick with the Bureau and Peer. Thank you so much for your time, Jeff. Join us offline, if you will, or online when we're offline. Facebook.com/TechRadio. Send us a tweet at SDPB. And, of course, midday at SDPB.org is you can always use that to send us your email questions. Have a great weekend, everybody.